words chosen for this morning are recorded in the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. A multitude of camels shall cover you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come, bringing gold and frankincense, and they will proclaim the praises of the Lord. In Jesus Christ, the light of the world, dear fellow redeemed. Obvious by now, we're in the Epiphany season. Epiphany Day proper is January 6th, which is also called the 12th night, the final day of the 12 days of Christmas. Epiphany very appropriately ends the Christmas season, because here the birth that went almost unnoticed that first holy night was revealed to the nations. The one that was not received by his own was manifested to the Gentiles, the wise men from the east. We then, from this text, want to see the coming in of the Gentiles to his kingdom. And first, we look at how it was prepared for in the Old Testament. Isaiah says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." That was the situation in the world at his time. The darkness of sin had covered the world. But the prophet says, "The light is going to rise." Jesus, the light of the world, was also meant for the people in the Old Testament. As soon as our first parents fell into sin, the seed of the woman was promised as the Savior of all. But the nations continually rejected that wonderful invitation of the Lord. And after continual calls to repentance, the flood and whatnot, God finally left the nations go their own way until his appointed time. And during that time, he centered his attention mainly on one man and one nation, Abraham and the Hebrews. Abraham was promised that his family would be a great nation. They would possess the land of Canaan, and from his seed, one would come who would be a blessing to the nations. God's allowing the nations to go their own way is a definite warning for each and every one of us here today. The Holy Spirit will not strive with us forever. We have been given fantastic gifts. We have the Word of God in its truth and purity. We have religious freedom, and even with our recession, we have fantastic earthly gifts. But the Lord won't continually give them to us if we trample them underfoot like pearls cast to the swine. Think about it. We have God's Word as never before in a variety of different mediums. We have economic Bibles. You can turn a radio on and hear the gospel proclaimed day and night. You can download scripture from the internet. And yet, do we tend to loathe, to get bored with that word of life, as Israel did the manna in the wilderness? How dusty is your Bible? How dusty is mine? Are we reading and meditating on it every day? Are we gathering for Bible studies and divine worship? Are we doers of the word and not hearers only? And if not, what excuses are we using? I have too much work to do. It's too cold to go out in January. The preacher's boring, and it's just a bunch of hypocrites that gather there in the chapel at 10 o'clock anyway. Remember, if we tire of the word of life, the Lord will eventually let us go our own way. The Lord indeed allowed the Gentiles to go their own way for a time, but he still gave them hope. He promised the coming Messiah, the Savior, our Savior too. And now we want to look at the New Testament, where we see the incoming of the Gentile nations. Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The light of the world, thanks be to God, was indeed born in Bethlehem, Judah. He came to give light to our benighted race. He lived a holy life for you and for me to cover our darkness. And then he entered into death to give us divine light, forgiveness, and salvation." But all this went unnoticed by our Gentile forefathers that first holy night. It was only Jewish shepherds that saw the light of the world. But Isaiah in this text gives us a picture of what's going to happen and has happened in our time. He says, "A multitude of camels will cover you, young camels from Midian. All those from Sheba shall arise. They will bring gold and frankincense. We behold the wise men coming from the east with camels laden with gold. They are the first fruits of that great train that would crowd into Christ's kingdom from every tribe and every nation, as the prophet says. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." After the ascension of our Lord, that ingathering began in earnest. By 100 AD, every shore of the Mediterranean had heard the gospel. St. Paul, as we well know, went westward, but tradition says that St. Thomas went eastward to Persia and India, Andrew to the north side of the Black Sea, and Mark to Egypt. Before our forefathers in northern Europe had heard the gospel, Nestorian Christians brought that message to China. The moment of decision for the Germans came in 700, or about in the 700s, I should say, when Boniface chopped down the sacred oaks in Fulda, showing that the gods of the heathen were nothing. Ansgar went to Scandinavia and St. Olaf in Norway. Since the time of the Reformation, the gospel has been heard in every land and every nation, and continues to be that way today. But now, as we behold that train of people coming in, first of all this morning, we each need to be sure that we're part of that group headed by the wise men. And that's only possible by repenting of our sins, trusting in Jesus as our only Savior, and keeping that faith alive through a regular use of God's Word and the Holy Sacraments. Then, as Gentiles, saved from hell's destruction by the grace of God, we will want to reach out and save those around us from that fate worse than death. That's our missionary zeal. I doubt that any one of you this week, as you drive to the mall or wherever else you're going in town, would drive right past someone laying on the side of the road, dying or injured. You'd stop and do what you could for that person, then how much more important isn't it to share the gospel, which affects not only this life, but the life to come? We have that which can save their immortal souls, and the Lord is directing us to help. In this Epiphany, as we see the Christ child manifested as the Savior of all, we're filled with thanksgiving. We weren't left in gross darkness, but the light of the world, Jesus Christ, has shined upon us in the waters of baptism, the sacrament of enlightenment, where faith in the Savior was worked in our hearts and all our sins were washed away. Therefore, out of gratitude, may we proclaim to all around, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. We arise for prayer. O Father in heaven, we thank you that the light of the world has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. In this Epiphany time, may he arise in our hearts through word and sacrament, and to all those sitting in darkness and the shadow of death. Then the gathering of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. We ask it in the name of the Christ child. Amen. We continue with the hymn.